Chapter 11. Well, said Armistice, what would you say to a general decoration of everything? To hangings, sometimes elegant, to easy velvet furniture, to abundance of little tables, to abundance of little seats, to brisk bright waiters, to great convenience, to a pervading cleanliness and tastefulness positively addressing the public, and making the beast thinking itself worth the pains? Contemptuous fury on the part of all the ladies. Mrs. Sniff looking as if she wanted somebody to hold her, and everybody else looking as if they'd rather not. 3 times, said our missus, working herself into a truly terrimenjious state, 3 times did I see these shameful things, only between the coast and Paris, and not counting either. A Tazabrick, a Daras, a Demines. But worse remains. Tell me, what would you call a person who should propose in England, that there should be kept, say at our own model Mugby Junction, pretty baskets, each holding an assorted cold lunch and dessert for one, each at a certain fixed price, and each within a passenger's power to take away, to empty in the carriage at perfect leisure, and to return at another station 50 or 100 miles farther on? There was disagreement what such a person should be called. Whether revolutionized, atheist, bright, I said him, or un-English. Miss Piff screeched her shrill opinion last, in the words, a malignant maniac. I adopt, says our missus, the brand set upon such a person by the righteous indignation of my friend Miss Piff. A malignant maniac. Know, then, that malignant maniac has sprung from the congenial soil of France, and that his malignant madness was in unchecked action on this same part of my journey. I noticed that Sniff was a-rubbing his hands, and that Mrs. Sniff had got her eye upon him. But I did not take more particular notice, owing to the excited state in which the young ladies was, and to feeling myself called upon to keep it up with a howl. On my experience south of Paris, said our missus, in a deep tone, I will not expatiate. Too loathsome were the task. But fancy this. Fancy a guard coming round, with the train at full speed, to inquire how many for dinner. Fancy his telegraphing forward the number of dinners. Fancy everyone expected, and the table elegantly laid for the complete party. Fancy a charming dinner, in a charming room, and the head cook, concerned for the honor of every dish, superintending in his clean white jacket and cap. Fancy the beast traveling 600 miles on end, very fast, and with great punctuality, yet being taught to expect all this to be done for it. A spirited chorus of the beast. I noticed that Sniff was a gin a-rubbing his stomach with a soothing hand, and that he had roared up one leg. But a gin I didn't take particular notice, looking on myself as called upon to stimulate public feeling, it being a lark besides. Putting everything together, said our missus, French refreshmenting comes to this, and oh, it comes to a nice total. First, eatable things to eat, and drinkable things to drink. A groan from the young ladies, kept up by me. Second, convenience, and even elegance. Another groan from the young ladies, kept up by me. Third, moderate charges. This time a groan from me, kept up by the young ladies. Fourth, and here, says our missus, I claim your angriest sympathy, attention, common civility, nay, even politeness. Me and the young ladies regularly raging mad altogether. And I cannot in conclusion, says our missus, with her spitifullest sneer, give you a completer picture of that despicable nation after what I have related, than assuring you that they wouldn't bear our constitutional ways and noble independence at Mugby Junction for a single month, and that they would turn us to the right about, and put another system in our places, as soon as look at us, perhaps sooner, for I do not believe they have the good taste to care to look at us twice. The swelling tumult was arrested in its rise. Sniff, bore away by his servile disposition, had roared up his leg with a higher and a higher relish, and was now discovered to be waving his corkscrew over his head. It was at this moment that Mrs. Sniff, who had kept her eye upon him like a fabled obelisk, descended on her victim. Armistice followed them both out, and cries was heard in the sawdust department. You come into the down refreshment room, at the junction, making believe you don't know me, and I'll pint you out with my right thumb over my shoulder, which is Armistice, and which is Miss Whiff, and which is Miss Piff, and which is Mrs. Sniff. But you won't get a chance to see Sniff, because he disappeared that night. Whether he perished, tore to pieces, I cannot say, but his corkscrew alone remains, to bear witness to the servility of his disposition. End of the Project Gutenberg text of Mugby Junction by Charles Dickens. MGJNC by Gutenberg Edition.